the nits nashim light candles. Okay, I'm going to run through the halachas very quickly. The night of Yom Tov Nashim, of course, they light neros for Yom Tov. We discussed this many times. The lighting of neros on Yom Tov is very different than the lighting of neros for Shabbos. In fact, there is not a clear source for this requirement. We know the neros of Shabbos. There's even a medrash that Sarah Imenu she lit neros, and Rivka she lit neros. The miracle of the Ner lasting from one week to the next return when Rivka lit Neros in the tent of Sarah. But the lighting of Neros on Yom Tov is an entirely different inyan. It's not like the lighting Neros on Shabbos, and it's not even so clear what the precise source for this for the halacha. Ad kdekach to make a special bracha. But in any event, the halach is, bottom line is, halach is noshim, they light neros for Yom Tov, and they make a bracha, asher kedushon, but mitzvah is fun, lahalik ner shel yoim toiv. There's difference of minhagim amongst the noshim. Do they first make the bracha and then light the candles, or do they first light the candles and then make the bracha? We know Shabbos, noshim first light the candles, and then make the bracha, because by making the bracha, they mekabel upon themselves the kedusha of Shabbos. Once it's Shabbos, it's forbidden for them to do a melacha deraisa, light candle. On Yom Tov, you don't have that problem, because Yom Tov, eish is permitted. So therefore, some women have the custom where they first light candles, and they first make the bracha, and after they make the bracha, they then light the candles. Okay, that is a matter of minog, a matter of custom. Each woman does what she is accustomed to do. In addition to lighting the candles, she also making the bracha l'asher kedushonu b'mitzvot l'halik ner shel yom tov. She also makes a shehechiyanu. She makes a shehechiyanu. We're going to come back to this in a few moments. It's very interesting, the shehechiyanu that she makes in regard to kiddush, which we're going to come to in a few moments. But she makes a shechiyanu, two brachas, lahalik ner shel yoim toiv, and then shechiyanu v'kimani v'yonu lazman hazeh, and that bracha is for in honor of the yoim toiv, and then she lights the candles, or if she lit the candles before, because of loy plug, we don't want to make any confusion between Shabbos and yoim toiv, she makes these two brachas. Where does she light the candles? In the house or in the sukkah? That's also a question. Lechatchila, it would be ideal for a woman to light candles inside the sukkah, in the place where we eat. We eat because that's if we learn if that this all touches upon the question of what is the purpose of lighting candles. We know that when it comes to Shabbos, the purpose is shiloim bayis, and that is primarily at the time of eating. When you eat the food, you should be nene from the food. You should see the food. Is the same reason, is that the reason we also light candles on Yom Tov? Not necessarily. The lighting of candles on Yom Tov could be just purely in honor of the Yom Tov. It's not necessarily the din of Shalom Bayis. Shalom Bayis was said specifically in regard to Shabbos. It's not necessarily true. The same requirement would be true when it comes to Yom Tov, and that would mean the candles need not be lit in the place where you eat. It should be lit somewhere in the house in honor of the Yom Tov, but not necessarily for the same reason you light it on Shabbos, so you should see what you're eating. If you don't have that advantage, the chiyuv to eat on Yom Tov is not exactly the same chiyuv to eat on Shabbos. Shabbos we eat because of Oineg Shabbos. Oineg Shabbos, in a certain respect, is greater than Kavoid Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, it is a mitzvah to eat meat. Interesting. Eat meat. Shabbos, there is no chiyuv to eat meat. There's no such thing. What? Basar. That's part of the zemer, but it's not an obligation. There is absolutely no obligation to eat meat and to drink wine. There's a mitzvah of oineg Shabbos, whatever gives you enjoyment. The Mishnah Berurah does bring down that there is that there is a mitzvah. I take it back. Not necessarily so. I'm forgetting. But it's not exactly the same. Oineg versus simcha. V'somachta b'chagecha ein simcha ela b'basar. But that does not necessarily mean you have to see the basar. to see the basar is a degree of oinek. You see, there's simcha in just filling up your stomach with basar. But then if you want to have an oineg in the basar, you have to see the basar when you eat the basar. Now, we're splitting hairs here. But there's a dafkamina la halacha in where you light the neiros of Yom Tov. Most people, at least where we live, do not have the option of lighting the neiros in the sukkah. Because it's either it's dangerous.
But if you're singing, you don't have to light neiros, you can use electricity.
What?
Okay,
you can always look at that's a separate issue. But Gesundheit. But anyway, we do light neiros. The question is, where do you light the neiros? Most people do not have the option of lighting the neiros in the sukkah because it's dangerous or because it's not practical for there's a very limited space in most people's sukkahs. And it's muksa, and you're going to get in the way. It's just not practical. But if you're going to say that the ikar tam of lighting candles is that you should be in a place where you eat, that if theoretically speak, if you were to turn off the electric lights, you would be nene from the ner shel Shabbos, you're not going to have that if you're lighting the neros inside your home. That's not necessarily a problem, because the lighting of candles on Yom Tov is not the same halacha as lighting candles on Shabbos. Shabbos, there's a din of Oineg Shabbos. Oineg Shabbos demands there be Shalom Bayis. Shalom Bayis requires that you should be able to see what you are eating. Yom Tov, there's no such thing. There's no place it says anywhere in Tanakh that on Yom Tov there is a din of Oineg. There's a different din. There's something called simcha. Simcha is not oinek. It has a different set of rules and does not necessarily overlap with oinek. And the nafkamina would be that it's no harm done if you light your candles inside your home on your kitchen table or where you normally light them, and you're lighting them in the home in honor of the Yom Tov, just like on Yom HaKippurim. On Yom HaKippurim, why are you lighting candles? You're lighting candles in honor of the Yom Tov. You're not eating. There's no eating on Yom HaKippurim. Okay, so then you'll say there's light, you should not trip, there's shalom bayis, you should not fall down and get into a fight, there should be some illumination in the home. Okay, but it's not by the food, because there is nothing what to eat. So you see that the lighting of candles is not just because of seeing the food, there are other elements, and that's why many people do not necessarily light in the sukkah. The person can light in the sukkah, okay, beautiful thing, but it's not necessarily a requirement. Moving forward, what do you do on the second day of Yom Tov this year? Do you light candles 18 minutes before sunset, or do you light candles 50 minutes after sunset? What are the different issues? On one hand, it's achana. If you're lighting candles on when it's still Yom Tov, on the day, let's say 18 minutes, in the regular time when you light candles 18 minutes before sunset, it's still the first day of Yom Tov, and you're lighting candles for the second day of Yom Tov. So this would be a violation of the Mechin from one day to the next day. On the other hand, if you're going to light candles when it's Vaday Tzeis HaKechavim, you can wait 72 minutes, you can wait 50 minutes, 60 minutes, whatever you want to wait, then you've lost out on the inyan of having the Hadlakas HaNeros in the earliest part of the day, the earliest part of the day as possible. So the truth is, there are different minhagim. For some reason, most of the calendars, almost every calendar that I have seen, the second day of Yom Tov, they post the Zman of lighting candles when it's either 50 minutes after Shkia, or 60 minutes after Shkia, or maybe even 72 minutes after Shkia. They follow the opinion that you should not light candles on the second day until it's Vaday Laila. The truth is, it's not so simple. It appears, the way he presents this, Rabbi Tezner, is that in Eretz Yisrael, many people, and maybe even most, they follow the other opinion, that you should light the candles 18 minutes before, and you should light it 40 minutes before sunset, because in honor, you want to light the candles as early as possible to enter into the second day, B'Kedusha, with the honor of Yom Tov, that the Yom Tov deserves, and there's no hachana, because once you light candles, this is the kedusha. You are tosefes shayamtif. You are bringing in early the kedusha of the second day of yamtif. There is no harm done. It's not. This is not called hachana. This is not called hachana to light candles the second day. Okay. So this is the matter of a minhag. Some nashim on the second day will light early, and some nashim will light on the second day late. Now, what about reciting a Shehecheyanu on the second night when the women light candles? Definitely not. Okay, Noshim, I'm sorry. Noshim, they do the second night. I'm sorry. They do make a Shehecheyanu on the second night?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. They do make a Shehecheyanu on the second night as well. We'll discuss the Shehecheyanus in a few moments. Okay, but they do make
a
Shehecheyanu. I'm going to come to that in one moment. But Nashim, they make a shachar on the first night and the second night in the men also. Men is lighting, so he makes a shachar, of course, when he lights candles as well. Okay, now, what about food preparation? Are you allowed to prepare food early, start cooking early on the first day Yom Tov for the second day of Yom Tov? So generally it's osur, because that's called b'mechin, from one day to the next. Now, there is a solution if you have little children. People do this, and that is if you have little children, so you can prepare, let's say, in the afternoon. Let the children, you're going to put them to sleep at 7 o'clock. So you're going to feed them supper at 6 o'clock. You're going to feed the little children dinner at 6 o'clock. So the solution is, and everyone does this, everyone has little children, is a woman is allowed to prepare all of the food for the following night, the Yom Tov night, on Yom Tov, on the first day Yom Tov, provided that she plans on feeding some of the food of every dish, every single dish that she prepares, even a mashahu, to the children, and to give it to them while it is still day. Once already she's preparing to feed the children at 6 o'clock before the sun sets, and dinner, she's allowed to be marbe bishiurim. The child only needs a small piece of chicken. Once already she's putting up the chicken to feed the child today, you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov for bo bayom. I'm feeding the child, the child needs to eat a piece of chicken. I'm going to prepare for the child a piece of chicken, so he can eat it at 6 o'clock, at 5 o'clock, before I put him to sleep. Once already, I'm putting in the pot one piece of chicken for the child. I can throw into the pot 20 pieces of chicken to prepare for all of my 20 guests who are coming tonight. It's not called being preparing from one day to the next. That's what's called being marbe bishiurin. Once already, you are permitted to cook, to prepare for bo bayom, you are permitted, it's one ma'isa, putting it on the fire, putting the pot on the fire where it's going to cook, it's one action. So what difference does it make if in the pot there's one piece of chicken, or there are 20 pieces of chicken? It's all the same. So you put on the pot 20 pieces of chicken, as long as you will, not playing games over here, you will give a small amount of what's in this pot to a child before the sun sets, and everything that you've done will then be marbe bishiurin. Now, if your children are all adults, you have an empty nest, or you don't have any grandchildren, let's say, the solution also works if you have grandchildren who come over for Yom Tov, so then you can also make all the preparations and just be marbe bishiurin. But if you're all alone, and you only have adults, and you're not eating anything until it's evening, then you have a problem. Then you're not allowed to start preparing for Yom Tov until after it's Vaday Laila. And it's for that reason many shuls, they do not daven Ma'ariv until it's very late, much later than usual, in order to avoid any conflict at home. Because if the husband comes home from shul too early, and dinner is not ready to be served, and the husband is twiddling his thumbs, it's going to, too much time on his hands will lead to a conversation with his wife, which may get a little nasty. And then you may have some shalom bayis problems, And they'll come back and blame the rabbi. Rabbi, it's all your fault. It's only because you made Maariv too early. I came home early. We had nothing to do. The supper was not ready. And we got into a fight. And that's why we're here for counseling. So it's all your fault. What?
What about if you're cooking for lunch?
For what?
Lunch.
Yes, yes. That's the solution, even for dinner. As long as the solution is with little children or grandchildren.
What if you don't enjoy it? Cook for yourself.
Yes, yes. If you're cooking for lunch, marbe b'shi'urin is permitted. If you want to cook for lunch and you want to eat the leftovers for su'uda in the evening, that's perfectly fine. As long as you will partake from this pot of food that you've done, a malacha of bishul, havara, as long as you will partake from it during the day, in a permissible fashion, then it's okay. It's okay. It's okay to add much, much more to the pot, and with the kavana, I'm going to eat all of the leftovers, which will be 95% for dinner with all of my guests. That's called marbe b'shi'urin. And that's why years ago, since I noticed this difference, years ago in many shuls they davened Maariv on this first day early. They davened it early. And no one made a big fuss about hachana. You know why? Because years ago, the community was a young community. Everyone had little children. And everyone was preparing the food for their children to give them dinner at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and put them to sleep before the husband went to Daven Maariv. As time has gone on, the children have become adults, and they've moved away, and there are less and less small children that need to be fed at 6 o'clock in the afternoon, so then it's not permitted to prepare during the day. It's forbidden, it's hachana. You have to first begin to prepare or to warm up food after it's Vadai Laila, 50 minutes, 60 minutes, and then it takes a lot of time. And that caused a delay, and that's why people began to demand that we daven Maariv later, so they don't come home to an empty table.
They don't do that. They still daven early.
It depends where. Yesh v'yesh. It depends where.
I also heard that frozen food can be taken out early.
Frozen, right? You're taking out frozen food because it's not called hachana. It's not a maisa hachana. To just take something out of the freezer and put it on the counter is not viewed by many poskim as a maisa hachana. A maisa hachana has to involve a significant action. Just taking something out of the freezer, that's not. It's too little. If you go and you actually prepare something, you get your hands dirty, that's already, but taking something to defrost, the oilam is makel. There's definitely a lot of leniencies in the laws of hachona. Like I started with, many, the way he writes, he's an Israeli, the one who wrote the Sefer, the way he indicates is that in Eretz Yisrael, it seems that most, they only keep one day Yom Tov. So what is he referring to then? Maybe he's referring to Rosh Hashanah? I don't know what he's referring to then, because he only came on the Yom Tov, but he seems to say that there's very strong ground to light candles early on the second, going into the second day. That's not called Hachona. Since you're lighting it L'shem Kedushas Yom Tov, and you're being Mekabel Tosefes Yom Tov by lighting candles early, even though technically speaking, you're still holding during the first day in time-wise, and what you're doing may be considered hachana, we overlook that element of hachana in the bigger picture that you're being mekabel upon yourself, the kedusha of the second day Yom Tov, and you have the advantage is that as you enter into the day as early as possible, the neiros of Yom Tov are lit. Okay, let's go further.
Your husband can also prepare the oil or to clean out the old wax.
Yes, so when can he prepare that? It seems it would appear, I don't know for sure, that the husband, it's his custom to make the preparations, he should make the preparations during the same time when his wife will light candles. If it's your minhag to light candles for the second day, 50 minutes after sunset, like what's printed on most of the calendars that we have, then the husband should not change the wicks and make the preparations until that time. If the minig, your minig is that your wife lights candles,
I don't think so.
18 minutes, no. That's achana. If you're not, it's totally zebizet. It's not logical. I hear what you're saying, but
if you have a, let's say, a dark room,
yes,
want to bring in a candle.
Okay, so if you want it, that's if you want to bring in the, that's if you want to do it for right now.
So
right now, it's not dark.
You don't want to have make that fun in the last minute. You might have to run down reasons. You prepared it earlier.
No, I don't think so. You know, that's a significant action. If you're preparing the kiddush, if your minig is to light candles 50 minutes after sunset, then you should not be making preparations. To go make preparations to clean out the old and put in the new, that's a significant action, and right now you're not doing it for today. It's not yet the zman. That will be like cooking. You're not supposed to cook from one day to the next. If the room is dark and you want to light candles because you need illumination in this dark room, okay, that's a different story. But if it's only you don't need the light, you just want to do it, it would appear not to be okay. Okay, now let's go further. Let's talk about the Shachiyan. The Shachiyan on Sukkot is very complex, very, very fascinating sugya of Shachiyan on Sukkot. There are at least four Shachiyanus that are made on Sukkot. Shachiyan number one is lighting candles. Now, lighting the candles really, in essence, is the shachiyanu that the husband will make when he recites kiddush. When the husband, let's talk about Pesach, let's talk about Shavuos. A woman lights candles, she recites shachiyanu, and then when it comes to the Seder, or it comes to the Suda Shavuos night, and the husband recites shachiyanu, so the woman should, this is the topic of discussion, is the woman allowed to answer amen to the shachiyanu? Perhaps that amen will constitute a hefsek between the borei pri hagafen and the bracha on kiddush and the drinking of the first kos. So there's a topic of discussion. It might be a hefsek. She already said shachiyanu, right? She already said shachiyanu when she lit candles, so she does not need to recite a shachiyanu. So even answering amen will be viewed as a hefsek between the bracha of her husband of borei pri hagafen and the bracha of kedushas hayoyim of kiddush and her drinking of the first kois shel dalal koisos. So there's a discussion. Halacha l'maisa we paskin that it's permitted. It's not called a hefsek. She can answer amen, but there's something more to talk about. When it comes to Sukkot, it's very different for one very interesting reason. There is another Shachiyon that we all should have made that we did not. And it's a big mystery why we did not do this, and that is on the building of the Sukkah. Let's take a step back. Tomorrow, during the day, when you take the Dalet Minim, do you make a Shachiyon the first day when you take the Dalet Minim? Of course. The first day of Sukkot, you make two brachos, Asher Kedushon B'mitzvot Tzvanu on the Filas Lulav, and a bracha of Shachiyanu V'kimanu V'gyonu La'azman Azeh. What is the Shachiyanu for? The Dalid Minim. Oh, but you made a Shachiyanu for Kiddush last night. Oh, that was a Shachiyanu for the Kiddushas Hayoyim. Now you have to make another Shachiyanu on the mitzvah of the Dalid Minim. Question. What about making a Shachiyanu for the building, for the mitzvah of Sukkah? Where was that Shachiyanu? So it says in Shulchan Aruch that you're supposed to make the Shachiyanu when you build the Sukkah. If anyone did not yet build their Sukkah, and you're planning on doing it today, or tomorrow night, or on Sunday, so when you build your Sukkah, it says in the Gemara, and it says in Shulchan Aruch, that when you build the Sukkah, before you begin, you should say, make a bracha b'shem u'malchus Shachiyanu. Do we do this bizman hazeh? No. You've never seen the person make a shachiyanu when they build their sukkah, even though this is what it says to do in Shulchan Aruch. Why not? Good question. I don't know an answer. L'chari, the answer is we're not in a frame of mind of simcha to make the shachiyanu. When we build our sukkah, we're all fatracht. We're thinking about all of our problems, about business. We're not in a frame of mind to make the bracha with the proper simcha. So therefore, what do we do?
Can't you say there's no mitzvah building the sukkah? The mitzvah is to eat the sukkah.
No, that's still the halacha. The halacha is still when you build matzah, then why don't we make a bracha?
Build building it, it's not the, if you build
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Even though it's not, you're correct. It's not the mitzvah. You are correct. It's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is eating in the sukkah, living in the sukkah, teishu came to the roof. But yet there is still another requirement that when you now approach the building of the sukkah, you make a bracha on, you make a bracha on building the sukkah. You're asking an excellent question, which I do not know the answer to. No one ever says that you make a bracha shechianu when you bake matzah. You are correct. I don't know the answer. But this is a Feirush Gemara. You're supposed to make a shechianu when you build the sukkah. We do not do this today. Probably because we're not in the proper frame of mind to make the bracha with the right kavanah. So what do? We don't do it, and we rely upon the shechianu we make when we make kiddush. Hold on, 1 second. Let me hear me out. And then I'll take your question. 1 second. Therefore, here it comes an incredible, incredible nafgamina, unbelievable kiddush, noshim. Where are they lighting candles? Let's say they're lighting candles indoors, not in the sukkah. Even if they're lighting candles in the sukkah, when are they lighting candles? They're lighting candles before sukkah begins, 18 minutes before sunset. They didn't build the sukkah. Okay, they're not the one who built the sukkah. They build the it's nishtahi nishtahir. It's not yet sukkahs, and they're not building the sukkah. She should have made, but it's too late now. Okay, I take it back. But she should have made the bracha when she built it. Not now, 18 minutes before sunset. Even though they're not required, but they can still make a bracha when they do the mitzvah. When an isha takes the lulav and eshrek minug ashkenaz, minug of the litvaks, not chassidim, most people are of the opinion. And Sfardim not, you write Sfardim not, and even some Hasidim also follow the Sfardim, but a woman, our chevri here, I'm certain every woman here makes a shechianu when she takes lulav and esrog. Not only does she make the bracha al netilas lulav, even though you write she's not commanded because the mitzvah says she has man grama, but she makes the bracha, and she'll also make a shechianu on this mitzvah. So therefore, an isha can make a shechianu on the mitzvah of sukkah. Now, to make it simple, let's say the woman lights the candles indoors. So now it comes out, what happened? She lit the candles indoors. On what? Kiddushas yomtiv. Now she comes into the sukkah, and she hears her husband make a shechianu. What is her husband making a shechianu on in the sukkah? He's doing two birds with one stone. He's making one shechianu for kiddushas hayoyim, which she already did when she lit candles, but he's also making that same shechianu for something that he should have done when he built the sukkah. So the shechianu that is recited at kiddush at night is for two purposes. It's kiddushas hayoyim and for the sukkah.
That's why it's done after the
first night.
You're correct. Very good. The longer it gets, the plot thickens. You're right. You're saying good. One thing. Let's discuss the first night.
Yeah, but it's also only because you've also said the
No, we didn't get to Leishev Basukah yet.
No, but I'm saying...
It's not related to Leishev Basukah. Leishev Basukah, right. The Shachin is the last bracha. But it's not... That's not the issue. It's not related to Leishev Basukah. There's a mitzvah of Shachyonu on the Sukkah. There's a mitzvah... It's like the two brachas in the Lulav. Asher Kiddushan b'mitzvah v'tzvah l'tilas Lulav. And then there's a Shachyonu. Now you make the Shechianu the Shechianu also, if I'm not mistaken, the Shechianu was really meant to be recited, I think, when you bind up, when you make the lulav, when you bind it. If I'm not mistaken, Erev Yom Tov, when you put the Hadassim and the Aravos into the lulav, that's really when you're supposed to make the Shechianu. We don't do this. We wait until we do the mitzvah. But when you're doing the mitzvah, you're not making Kiddush. So there is no other Shechianu. There is no other Shechianu. You have no choice but to make a Shechianu on the mitzvah itself. When it comes to a sukkah, you really should have made a Shechianu when you built the sukkah. We did not do so. Now it comes Friday, it comes Yom Tov night, so we're making one Shechianu for two things, for the Kiddushas Hayoyim and for the sukkah. The Isha already made a Shechayonu for the Kedusha Sayoin, but she did not yet make a Shechayonu for the Sukkah. So she needs the Shechayonu of her husband's Kiddush for the Sukkah.
Even though she's not
mechuyev in the midst of Sukkah. We just mentioned that. Even though, absolutely, even though once she already does the mitzvah, she makes a bracha. If a woman does a mitzvah, the Ramah, Minig Ashkenaz, is a woman makes every bracha you can possibly make. The Svardim, the Mechaber says that an Isha should not make a bracha on a mitzvah in which she is not obligated in. There are some Hasidim that follow the Shid of the Mechaber in this regard. But that's not the common minig. The common minig among us Ashkenazim is a woman makes every bracha she can possibly make just like a man. There are exceptions, Lishmoya, Mikra Megillah, okay, when she's listening it to her alone, privately, they change the nusach a little bit. Some say, even there you shouldn't change the nusach, you don't play around with the nusach of Chazal. But whatever it is, it's very fascinating that the bracha of Shechayonu on the night, the first night of Sukkos, is not like the Shechayonu on the first night of Pesach and the first night of Shavuos. There, a woman and a man are equal. They're both making a Shechayonu for exactly the same thing, the Kedushas Hayoim. Therefore, if a woman already lit candles and recited Shechayonu as her custom is to recite a Shechayonu when she lights candles, when it comes to the Smith, when it comes to the Kiddush, it's repetitious. It's repetitious. A bracha levatol of her because she already made a Shechayonu. Now her husband is making a Shechayonu and she needs the husband for the first and second bracha. Let's say it's the Dalai Kaisis. Let's say her custom is not to make a Bari Priya Gofen. The Rosh Habayis, he makes a Bari Priya Gofen. Everyone answers Amen and they drink for Kiddush. Some people do that. And certainly when it comes to Kiddush Hayom, she's not going to recite Kiddush on her own. She needs the husband and then you're supposed to drink the wine right away. It would be a hefsik. So therefore you need to struggle is answering Amen called a hefsik. Is it not a hefsik? There's a topic of discussion. Halacha lemaisa, a woman can answer Amen. We do not view it to be a hefsik. But on the first night of Sukkot, being that the Shechayonu really is, there really should have been another Shechayonu when you build the Sukkah. And for whatever reason, we do not make that Shechayonu. We combine it with the Kiddush. So if a woman, when she lights candles outside of the Sukkah in the home, or even if she lights candles in the Sukkah, but it's not yet Sukkos, and she did not build the Sukkah, and even if she did build the Sukkah, she's not making the bracha for the building of the Sukkah because it already was built. You're supposed to make the bracha when you build the sukkah. If you miss it, you miss it. So she's not making the bracha really in the proper time anyway. So her bracha really is only for Kedushas Hayoim. She still needs another Shechayonu. And that Shechayonu will be done when the husband makes the Kiddush and she listens and she answers Amen and she is mechuyev to answer Amen in order to gain that bracha. Now let me give you another very fascinating nafka mina, which is sheloi kehalacha. But it opens up the topic. Let us say you are a guest at someone else's home, sukkah, the first night of Yom Tov. You're a guest. I'm not eating in my sukkah the first night of Yom Tov. I'm going out to the neighbors. Okay? I'm going to the neighbor for the first Suda, the meal, and I come there, and he makes Kiddush, and he recites Shechayonu, everything is fine and good, and then I come home, and then I come the next morning into my Sukkah. One can argue very strongly, I am mechuyev to make a Shechayonu the first time I eat in my Sukkah.
On the building of the Sukkah. Right,
basically, not the building of the sukkah, the bracha that should have been made when I built the sukkah, now think that it's my sukkah. This is I should have made a bracha when I built my sukkah, correct? We wait until Yom Tov, because we're not in the proper frame of mind of Simcha. Now is when I should make the Shechayonu. Isn't that an amazing chiddush? If you eat, what? Rabbi Tezner, he's citing all the places.
So the Leishay Basukah doesn't...
No, the Leishay Basukah is the bracha you make on the mitzvah. In addition to the bracha of Leishay Basukah, the first time you do a mitzvah, you make a Shech Yonu. There are even opinions that say that a bar mitzvah boy, the first time he puts on tefillin, should make a Shech Yonu. We don't do this, halacha l'maisa. But there are places that say you should. You can't say it's a bracha levatala. We don't do it for various reasons. But the first time you do a mitzvah, you make a Shech Yonu. You were supposed to make a Shech Yonu when you built your sukkah. You waited until Yom Tov to make that Shech Yonu. And guess what? You did not even eat in your sukkah. You ate out someone else's sukkah. So tomorrow, when I come home to my sukkah, the first time I eat in my sukkah, I should really make a Shech Yonu at Kiddush.
Can you make a standalone Shech Yonu?
What?
Can you make a standalone Shech
Yonu? Yes.
So why does he make it the night before he goes to somebody's house to eat? He knows. Let him go into a sukkah to
be before Yom.
Because we don't do that. We make the Shech Yonu for whatever reason. You're asking a good question. Because really, technically, you are correct. You really were supposed to make the Shech Yonu when you built the sukkah. We don't do that today. We combine the Shech Yonu when you do something significant. What is significant? When you make Kiddush, when you eat in the sukkah for the first time. Just walking the sukkah and saying Shech Yonu, technically you're right. Technically you can't say it's a bracha levatala, but since it is our custom to attach the Shech Yonu to the first time you do something significant, the first time you will have an opportunity to do the mitzvah of Leishay Vasukah, to Mekayim the mitzvah, will be the next morning. You should say the Shech Yonu the following morning when you eat the Su'udon, your sukkah, for the very first time. It's a very strong argument to say such a thing, and there are definitely poskim that say that's what you should do. However, you've never seen this done. Halacha l'maisa, this is not the way we accept, we are paskin. You do not make a Shech Yonu. What we say is we rely upon the Shech Yonu that your neighbor, your friend, your family member has made. That Shech Yonu that he makes on his sukkah will be also for my sukkah.
So people go away to a hotel for Holy Yom.
Yes.
The sukkah is built by the hotel. Not
whoever makes Kiddush. The sukkah is built by the hotel. So you're saying very good. You're saying something that's very, very true. If you're going to be away the entire Yom Tov, and you don't have your own sukkah, you're really losing out to a degree. You're not losing out totally.
You make
the Shech Yonu on the Kiddushas Hayoyim. You're also fulfilling the mitzvah of sukkah. So you're making the Shech Yonu, it's also going on the mitzvah of Leishev Basukkah. But there is another element that you're definitely losing out on. And that is your own sukkah. Now, there's no din of lochem by sukkah. Let's not make any mistake about this. There is no din of lochem. You can sit in someone else's sukkah. Yet, let's not forget, Chazal told you that when you build your sukkah, you make a Shech Yonu. You don't have to build your own sukkah. You can eat by someone else's sukkah. So there is some other element which a chavivus of building your own sukkah, and that's the proper mokum to make the Shech Yonu. If you don't have your own sukkah, you're losing out the ability to say the Shech Yonu on your own sukkah. And it's fine, okay? You're not going to get into trouble for this. But there's something there that's lacking. You're right, you go to a hotel, you don't have it. You don't have it. You want to say that by paying the bill, by paying the hotel bill, so you're a chelik, you're a shutif in the building of the sukkah. Perhaps. But let's say you eat out every single meal and you're not a shutif, then you're lacking in this, you're lacking. You go to someone else's sukkah, you're lacking. Are you really, maybe, you know, the Hanukkah candles. If you're a guest in someone's home, so you don't light your own Hanukkah, mikra din. We don't do that either today. Okay, but according to Shulchan Aruch, you're not supposed to light candles. If you're a guest in someone else's home, you're not supposed to light candles. You give him a pruta, you give him a coin, and you're a shutif with him in the mitzvah, and his lighting of the candles counts for your mitzvah as well. Okay, it's interesting, just to appreciate the idiom of what the Shech Yonu is. There is one nachum l'halacha that is clear, and that is in Isha, the first night, if she lights candles in the home, not in the sukkah, and even you can say the same thing as she lights, even if she lights, in the sukkah, the halacha lemaisa, when the husband makes kiddush and the husband recites shechianu, she has a full-fledged obligation to answer the shechianu, because that shechianu is also being chal upon the mitzvah of sukkah. And the shechianu that she has recited when she lit candles was only for the kedushas hayoyim. Okay, the next shechianu we'd say was easy. That's easy. That's the lulav and esrog. If a person for whatever reason did not take lulav and esrog the first day, then he makes a shechianu the second day. Now I don't know the answer to this question. I really don't know the answer. But think about it, maybe. And that is, when it comes to shofar, we make a shechianu on shofar both days, the first day and the second day, hands down, right? The Sfarim don't. The Sfarim do not. The Mechaber says you do not make a Shechianu on the second day of Rosh Hashanah when you blow Shofar. You do not. But Ashkenazim make a Shechianu on the first day, on the second day. But it's Sekadi. It's only Sekadi. It's only Sekadi Yoma. So there is a minhag, if it can be done, is that the Baal Tokea should wear a new suit. He should wear a new suit, so the shechianu should be chal on the new suit. It should not be called the bracha lebatalah. I don't know the answer. When it comes to lulav and esrog, there is no such thing as making a shechianu on the second day of Sukkot. You don't. You only make a shechianu on the first day. You do not make a shechianu on the second day. No one. No one does this. Why is there a chiluk? Maybe the difference is that maybe one shechianu chazal allowed. When the Baal Tokeh makes a Shechianu, that's one Shechianu for the whole Tzibur. Here, every single person to make a Shechianu, when they take the Lulav and Esrog, maybe they felt that's going too far. Sveika D'Yoma, today we're experts between the Yarche. I don't know, but it's interesting to take note the difference between Shofar and Lulav and Esrog. Another Svar maybe we can say is that
the second night of Yom Tov, you also make a second
night. Right, Noshe make a Shechianu on the second night, the Kedushas Hayoyim. Okay, so where are you Mechalek?
That's because of Sveika D'Yoma.
So Lulav and Esrog is the same Sveika D'Yoma. It's the same as a Mitzvah D'Oraisa, not a Mitzvah D'Oraisa. You want to say you do it all 7 days. Because you're doing it for all 7 days, it's not like Shofar. Shofar, you're only supposed to do it one day. So we do a system. We don't know what the one day is, so we make a shechianu both days. Lulav and Esrog, Chazal were misaken, the Rabbanon, to take it for 7 days. You're not going to make a shechianu for 7 days. You're not going to make a shechianu for the second. I guess that's the answer.
The second day,
man of shech. The second day, well, not really man of shech. Second
what
day.
You said yesterday was that it's. In other words, you answered the question with what you said earlier in the week.
What? How?
That you're not doing it, it's not the same thing that originally the mitzvah of Arba Minim was only the first day.
Right.
So the rest of the time it's a Zeicher. The mitzvah of Sukkah is for 7 days.
But the second day, Midin Seker D'Yoyma, might really be the first day. And that's the Ikechi of D'Oraisa, like Shofar. And there you make a Shechianu on the second day. I hear what you're saying, but there's a difference. We do it for 7 days. It was one day, but okay, I don't know. Let's leave. Like, I want to go by. Whatever it is, this is just a ha'ara, something to think about. Why is it that Shofar is only one day and everything else only going to be you?
Because Shofar is only one day here in the field.
I know, but
it's the thing is, it's a Yoma Richter, it's a Suffolk and all that. So by Shofar, you'd have to do something. For instance, you don't have to put on. You don't have to have by Kiddush on the second night, you don't need a new fruit. You're still saying the Shechianu on the second night, even though...
We do make the Rosh Hashanah, we do have a new fruit the second night.
Right?
On Sukkot, the woman, she makes a Shechianu, and when she lights we also by Kiddush we make a Shechianu.
Right.
So why don't we have there a new food on the second night the second night of Sukkot?
Basically the same thing.
That's done because it's Sveika
D'Yoma. Only on Rosh Hashanah we makbe to have. I think what the answer is. Is
no, Rosh Hashanah. I think the two days are one day.
We're getting sidetracked. I want to go by. There's a very big difference. On Rosh Hashanah, the second day Rosh Hashanah is not, there's no Sveika D'Yoma. There's no Sfeika D'Yom on the second day of Rosh Hashanah because...
It's the Yom and we already know that...
Kviya D'Yarcha.
Yeah.
When it comes to the other Moadim, so it's not the beginning of the month. It's
the middle of the month.
So in Eretz Yisrael there's only one day. In Chutz Li'aretz there are 2 days. Mm-hmm. Being that in Eretz Yisrael there's only one day, in Chutz Li'aretz there are 2 days, that shows that there's a legitimate Sfeika D'Yoma, which warrants a double Shechayanu.
Right.
Rosh Hashanah, there are 2 days even in Eretz Yisrael.
That's what I'm
so that means that means the second day really does not belong there. Because of Neshem and Neskalkel Hashir. So the second day is a different type of right. Yom Tov Sheni, which is not for real. It's a lesser degree of real than the Seker, the Yom of the Sholosh Regolim. And that's why there we need to be Nizer and having a new fruit. Okay, let's go weiter. Let's stop here with this topic. I want to go weiter. Let's go to running out of time. Another topic. Okay, next topic. Focus on is let's go to the Birkas Hamazon. We all know you have to say Yalav Yavoy. If you forget to say Yalav Yavoy, you have to repeat, of course, the Birkas Hamazon. There's a minig in the entire Sukkot to say two Harachamons. Harachamon who Yanchileinu Yom Shekuloi Toiv.
Okay,
and then every Yom Tov, and you say that as well on. Can you say that? Can you say that as well on? You say as well on Yonder as well, and there's another Harachman Yochim Lanu Esukas David Hanafolos. Okay, that is to be said the entire Yom Tov. That's more of a Kabbalistic type of Harachman, and that is also to be said. What?
There are some that have minig till Hashanah Rabbah Yichadish
Hashanah Hashanah. To say until Hashanah Rabbah, to say okay, well, we send Rosh Hashanah, the Nusach of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, correct. Now here's another interesting thing. We all are familiar with the Yehirat, so we say that the Yitzias HaSukkah. When you leave the Sukkah on in Eretz on Hashanah Rabbah, and Chutz Li'aretz Yitzias HaSukkah on Shemini Atzeres, there's a beautiful Yehirat that we recite. It's in all the Machzorim. It's in different pamphlets they give out to say the Yehirat. Now, not everyone realizes there's another Yehirat sign to be said when you go into the Sukkah for the first time. You say the Yehirat sign, we're not up to the Ushpizin yet. I'm not up to the Ushpizin yet. Besides the Ushpizin, it's a separate thing entirely. There's a special Yehirat sign that's nothing to do with the Ushpizin, that some have the custom to say the first time you enter the Sukkah. You have to look in the good machzor. And it's very interesting, it's a nice package to the Yehiratzon you say when you leave the sukkah. We're all familiar with the Yehiratzon you say when you leave the sukkah, but it makes it a lot more, if you say the Yehiratzon that you when you go into the sukkah for the first time, it gives the Yehiratzon that you're going to say when you leave the sukkah for the last time more meaning. There's a balance. Yeah. However, not everyone is so crazy about the Yehiratzon of entering the sukkah because you should just say Kiddush. Do what Chazal told you to do and say Kiddush. And Leishe Basuga. The Ushpizin is something completely different. The Ushpizin is something that you say, Okay, you're right. Some have the custom to say the Ushpizin in the middle of the meal. There are different customs as when to say the Ushpizin. Do you say in the middle of the meal? Do you say the beginning of the meal? Period. Okay, next big hot topic. Leishev basukkah. When do you make the bracha leishev basukkah? Before you say, by kiddush or by hamotzi? Now at night, less man the pollock. At night, everyone you say the bracha leishev basukkah at kiddush. When you mekadesh al hayoyim, when you make kiddush, and right, you first make the bracha boy pri agofen. Then you make the bracha on the yoyim, the kiddushas hayoyim. Then you say leishev basukkah. And then you say Shehechianu. Four brachas. Four brachas are recited when you go into the sukkah, the first night of sukkahs. In the morning. Morning, when do you make Kiddush? Kiddush Rabba. What is Kiddush Rabba? Boirei pri hagofen. Some say, Eile mode Hashem asher tikro esam ikro. Kodesh elu vadoi. Vayidave Moshe Svar de Hashem al Bnei Yisrael Savri Bar Pri Agofen. Do you say at that moment in time Leishev Basoka? Period. Some yes, and then they drink the Yayin, and some say no. That's not the time to say Leishev Basoka. You say Leishev Basoka when you recite Hamoitzi. You go into wash, and when you recite Hamoitzi, you then say Leishev Basoka. So there are different minhagim, to each his own. Some make it when there's no pros and cons both ways. The kiddush that you say by day is not a real kiddush. That's not a real kiddush. That's a midrabanan.
It's called kiddush rabba.
Kiddush rabba. So the mitzvah to say leishev is when you eat, is when you sit down to eat.
So
when you eat.
What?
Well, you're eating, if you're eating mezoinos, you have to say, so the shul, they do whatever they do. When they either that's the debate, that's the dilemma. Do you say leishev asukah when you say kiddush, or do you say leishev asukah when you eat a hamoitzi or a mezoinos? There are two different minhagim when to say leishev asukah. Now, furthermore, there are different minhagim exactly when you say leishev asukah. How many times a day do you say leishev asukah? The rule of thumb is if you're not mesiach das from the sukkah, you do not recite another leishev asukah. If you're eating the meal and then you go into your house, take a telephone call, and you go in to do something, and you in your mind, you can determine in your mind that you have really not forgotten. The sukkah is on your mind, and then you go back in an hour later, and you take another mezoinos, eat more food, or even wash a second time, you do not recite another leishev basukkah. Technically speaking, one leishev basukkah is enough for the entire day. The only time you recite another leishev basukkah is when you mesiach das. To be mesiach das means you're totally out of it. I went away, I went on a trip, I went somewhere else, and I went back. If you mesiach, that's the rule of thumb. Just because you're eating food does not automatically mean you make a leishev basukkah. You at least should eat a mezoinos. Some will not even do that. Some will only make the leishev basukkah when they eat a hamoitzi. Some will make it when they eat the zayin minim. If you eat fruit, if you eat a mezoinos. But if you just take a cup of coffee, a cup of water, or you make a shahako on fish, or any of the vegetables, fruits that are not from the Shivas HaMinim, then most people do not recite a Leishev Basukah. Okay, next.
So are you going to discuss what you can eat and not eat?
What?
Are you going to discuss what person
can? No chametz. No chametz in the sukkah.
Out of the sukkah.
Yeah. Make sure you do bedikas chametz, Arab. Don't forget. But so, yeah.
You laugh. A few years ago, my shul sent out the bedikas, you know, chametz things for Rosh Hashanah and the newsletter. They sent out mechiras chametz.
Okay. Okay. Now let's go further. Okay. Let's briefly discuss Hashanahs. Okay, let's discuss. You take the dalad min, and this is important halacha. You take the dalad min, make a bracha on the dalad minim. Now there is a minute, and we discussed this before. There's a beautiful minute to go and recite the bracha on the dalad minim in the sukkah, So most shuls do not give you an opportunity to do this. So when should you do this? So then you can, if you so wish, to do this before you go to shul. Before you go to shul in the morning, you go into your sukkah and you take out your dalad minim and you make the bracha on the dalad minim in the sukkah. Very beautiful minute. Some of the shuls, they give you time. The shul has their own sukkah and they give you, before they begin halal, they have a very short break in order to allow the people who want to go into their sukkah, into the shul sukkah, and to recite the bracha. And there's a very big advantage in doing it that way. What is the advantage? Now listen, before we get to that advantage, I'm going to clarify this point. This is a very important point. When do we do Hashanahs? Do we do Hashanahs before Hashanahs is done? Is it done after Shacharis or after Musaf? There are different minhagim. Okay, the classic Nusach Ashkenaz is to do it after Musaf. The classic Nusach Sard is to do it after Shacharis. Today it's a big mishmash. A lot of people are switching over to Nusach Sard and they do it after Shacharis. Now here's the catch. Here's a very important catch. When you make the bracha, Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosa v'tzvanu al natilas lulav, what is it? What exactly is your bracha going upon? What is it going on? You shake the lulav. You're done, right? I've shake the lulav. I'm done. I now can go and have a conversation, put it down on the table, have a conversation with the person who sits next to me and say, new World Series. Who won? What's going on? What happened? What are the scores? Give me the rundown of what happened. Oh, now all of a sudden the Shlech Tzibah gets up to the Amud. Right? They begin halal. So you pick up the lulav, back in business, and then you come to Haluka, and you're shaking away. You just lost out on a golden opportunity. You had an opportunity that your barocha, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvayse v'tzivadu al netilas lulav, not only was it chal upon the taking of the lulav in Esrog, when you did the netila, it also could have been chal on the shaking of the nanuim during halal. But you blew it. You blew it because you had a conversation between the netila, the bracha that you made, and the beginning of halal. You shouldn't, if you are making the bracha before you begin halal, do not speak after you finish making the bracha and shaking your lulav and esrog until after halal, because there's more to do. The mitzvah is to take the dalet minim, not only take the dalet minim and shake it, but shake it when you recite halal during the nanuim. Yeah.
But those who take the lulav into the sukkah before davening.
Oh, so you're losing out. That's the big dilemma. We don't live in a perfect world. If your shul does not allow you, give you time to go into the sukkah, so you want to be mekayim the minhag of taking the dalet minim in the sukkah, and the only time you can do this is before davening. Wonderful. But then there's a trade-off. The trade-off is that when you shake the dalet minim during the recital of halal, it's being done without a bracha, because you have a hefsek. You shook in the sukkah early in the morning, and now you're shaking the nanuim, but the nanuim, there is no bracha. If you are not going to do that minhag, everything's a trade-off. You have to decide what is more worthy. And there is no answer to this. There really is no clear answer to this. The best thing would be if you're in a shul and they give you time. That would be the ideal thing. If you have a shul, they give you time. They give a small, many shuls do this. They give a very small break and they allow people to go into the sukkah. So then they make the bracha on the dalet minim and then they immediately go in back into shul and they don't say a word. They're not mafsik. And then they begin halal, and then you shake the dalet minim during the nusach of halal. So then the bracha, not only is the bracha chal on the shaking of the lulav and esrog, the bracha is also chal on the na'anuim that are done during the recital of halal. And let's go further, Rabbi Isai.
One second, can't you say that when I'm making the bracha in the sukkah before davening?
No, there's a hefsek. How can you say that? There's a tremendous hefsek.
This should be a chal also for later.
It's a hefsek. What kind? How can you say that? It's a massive hefsek.
Yeah, but you do it. The same thing happens when you're making the bracha on the karpas. 2 hours later, when you're up to the maror, this is the bracha for
it's
the maror.
It's all part of the seder. You should know that the people that are makpid not to talk dvarim shel chol during the seder. It's all one continuous hemshach. I don't shake the lulav until I get to the fourth paragraph. I say hallelujah. So that's not a hefsek. It's all part of the nusach of halal. When you're going to shul, you're going to walk to shul, you have a conversation. And then you're going to go have another conversation until you sit down to daven. A lot of things happen from the time you take the dalavim in the sukkah at home until you get to shul. Here, you're making the bracha, and then you go right into, you make the bracha, and then you go into halal, it's chalamov. And let's go further. If you have the opportunity, if you're in a shul, they do the hoshanis immediately after halal, then the bracha. Okay, Dr. Fruchter, please, there's so many distractions here. Please, phones, people reading the newspaper, the Flabbershus Journal, and this and that, walk in and out.
Well, that's disgusting.
It's really, it's horrible. It's just disgusting. People sit here and they do everything goes. Really everything goes. Everybody, it's like, if you have a cell phone, if you have a car, are you allowed to drive in the opposite direction on the street, go down the FDR in the wrong way? Suicidal. If you are fortunate to have a cell phone, you have a responsibility in how to use it. if you take your smartphone, your cell phone, into a public place, it's like a car. You can't do with it whatever you want. You can't drive down the highway in the wrong direction and harm other people. If you have a smartphone, a cell phone, and you take it, you pick it up in the morning and you take it with you into a public place, you have a responsibility to know how to operate it. Everyone tells me, these, I don't know how to turn it off. I don't know how to turn on vibrate. If you don't know how to drive, you're not allowed to operate a motor vehicle. That's the way it is. The device is a very powerful device. If you don't know how to operate it, then leave it at home. Or if it's more important, then they don't have to come. It's not. It's just not proper. It's just not derech eretz for yourself, for the other people in the shir. Forget about me. Just it's not a proper thing to do. Okay, let's go further.
So you were saying that it's my heart.
So now, when it comes to the Hoshanis, there's another very important thing. When it comes to the Hoshanis, when you make the bracha, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah svanu al netilas lulav, and you're in a shul where they do Hoshanis immediately after Hallel, it's gold. Because the bracha on the netilah is chal on three things. It's chal on the netilah, it's chal on the nanuim, and it's chal on the hoshanis. When you walk around the bimah with the hoshanis, that's a chelik of the mitzvah of l'kachtem lochem b'yom harishon. You're hopping around three different elements, and you're able to all include it within a holy bracha with the shem Hashem and the malchus of Hashem. Exactly, only in Nusach Sfarim. Nusach Ashkenaz you can't do, because then there's a hefsek, there's a very big hefsek, there's an aliyah, there's laning. Unless you're so meticulous, unless a person is so well behaved that the whole, from the time they finish Hallel, they view the whole Nusach, you're in such a state of discipline that you can actually say that you're not Mesiach Das from the time that you made the bracha on the Lulav Neshek until you finish, you came to the end of Musaf. So it's very unfortunate that people who talk daven in the shul, they say nusach svart, and they make the bracha right before the lulav. Look what goes on. They make the bracha, and the second after they take the bracha, they're having a conversation with the fellow next to them, talking about who knows everything under the sun until the shtech tzibur gets up to daven. So right away you are mafsik between the bracha and the ability that the bracha should be chalos upon the nanuim during halal. And then after Hallel is over, until they start the Hoshanis, people also, you see, get into conversations, which also constitutes a major hefsek between the bracha and the Hoshanis. So you have here incredible opportunities to sanctify with Kedusha the Nanum in Hallel and the Hoshanis, just for a couple of words, to say a couple of few words and a couple of holdings, a couple of seconds. Why blow it? Take it seriously. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah which comes around only once a year. People, they spend hours in the store with loops looking that the lulav and eshek should be just so perfect. And they'll tell you that it's a meyuchas. I got it from this, I got it from that. And then it's horrifying to watch how people mekayim the mitzvah. They spend hundreds of dollars and they brag about where they got it from. They did this. And they come to shul and they just go through the motions, and they have conversations, and they lose the whole what it's all about, and the whole thing only takes 5-10 minutes from beginning to end. What's the big deal already? There's a lot to be said about not being mafsik between the bracha and the conclusion of the Hoshanis, especially Moshe's late today. They start doing the Hoshanis after Shachas. Yes.
We have a thing called Seder Tfilah. How is one authorized, or who does the permission to change to, let's say, shul is Ashkenaz, to switch it?
You're right. Hoshanis. You're right. You're asking a very, very good question, and I don't have an answer. I do not have an answer. I told you once that my father, when he came to Yom Yisrael, they did it after Musaf, and the Baal Batim, my father's shul, they put a lot of pressure on my father. They said they wanted to change after Shachris. And the reason they gave was in those days, still to say, the shul was very, very small, and they had these folding chairs, And it was a very big deal to go and to put it down, to package it up, open up, take it out. And in the shul, and it was very crowded. So it was a matter of convenience. That is correct. A matter of convenience because of the environment. Because of the environment, it was very, very cramped. And they put a lot of pressure on my father. My father resisted. And then my father went, he had no choice, he went to Yisrael Moshe Feinstein. And Moshe Feinstein says, if this is what the Baal HaBatim want, and they have a good reason, it's really true that there's a very big inconvenience, there's a lack of space, and it's very delicate, the Dalet Minim, then yes, then you can do it.
So you need a higher...
So my father went to Rav Moshe, my Moshe told my father that he can do it. After my father did it, so I remember there was one particular person in the community who, you know, he davened in the shul because there wasn't at that time too many other shuls. There wasn't not much action else in town. It was the only game in town before the proliferation of hundreds of shuls and shtiblach in the neighborhood. And he was a real starker Ben Torah type. And he gave my father such a hard time. How dare he changed, like exactly what he said. My father said, Rav Moshe. And this person, he knows better than Rav Moshe. And then he made a 180-degree reversal, like about a year later, and he came Amish with Bechias Shlish, with Mamish Es Mechila. He was so wrong when he did. Rav Moshe. Some people are not stable. What? What? Atayva Meitiv. What does that do to anything? Atayva Meitiv is only when you purchase objects. A lulav and esher. Shachiyadu, but not on a mitzvah. There's no such thing as saying good, but there's no such thing as making a toiva hametiv on the lulav and eshek, even if you're going to share it.
Hallel should be also like
that. Hallel?
Hallel itself is like making
it. All right, so we have to stop over here. Yosef Masha Korosi is infinitely much more to learn about, but unfortunately, we're out of time, so we're going to stop here. We'll leave it with this for now. We'll take a short break. And then we will learn some in Yoni Diyoyma Parsha and Sukkot some Machshava.
The Lutheran should hold a Broim Am Hadras Melech, right? Yeah, when they have a Yotzai, they always make a minion on this side.